Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Connect with Toussaint Louis. Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Connect with Toussaint Louis. It's a beautiful day here in sunny Miami. We're looking forward to our guest, Miss Helen McMillan. Helen is going to talk about basically what she does. She's a life coach. She turns all our negatives into positives. She's a very enthusiastic person, somebody who I'm looking forward to having on the show. And I guess why don't we just get into it right now? Hi, Helen.
Hi, good morning, Toussaint.
How are you? You're a bright, chirpy persona as usual. What's happening? How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. It's funny you talk about the bright, sunny persona. It's a choice, right?
Yes, well, I guess it's a choice, and I guess this is why we need to discuss exactly what you do, because so many of us are faced with tribulations in our lives. We try to make positives out of negatives, but it's far easier, far more easier said than done. And I guess this is where exactly you come in. Tell me, Helen, exactly what is a life coach?
Okay, a life coach is, as a profession, is it's very different from consulting, mentoring, advice, therapy, or counseling. It's really where we address specific personal projects or business success or transitions in a client's personal life, their relationships, or the profession, and we examine what's going on right now with them, help them to discover their obstacles or the challenges, and then choose a course of action that makes their life what they want to be. So I'm also certified as a dream coach, and so oftentimes people say, is that the dreams you have at night? And it's not. It's the dreams you have for your life. And so many of us learn very early in life to shut down our dreams, or project our doubt or fear into our dreams and collapse it. Or we're, it's like, why bother? So we don't even realize that we stop dreaming, and so we stop going for what we truly want, and we minimize and downsize and tolerate, and then we wonder why our lives feel heavy and uninspiring. So we help people to connect with that.
How much do you have to internalize to make this come true? And I say that because, there are so many external forces that can provide negative impacts, on our lives. How much of this has to come from yourself? I mean, obviously, because how do you overcome, I guess just so much we're faced with today. How do you overcome
this? Well, the thing is, too, it's really starting to recognize certain things that really it would be nice if we were taught in school, but we're not, like life skills, like how we manifest our lives, how our brains work, how we create through our thoughts create our reality. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Wayne Dyer or his work. He's an inspirational author and speaker. But, one of the things he says is that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So we actually, our thoughts create our reality, not the other way around. But many times we're not taught that. So so if you get up in the morning and you're thinking, oh, God, life is hard, life is a struggle, oh, gosh, I don't have any money. How many times do we say a day, oh, God, I'm broke, right? Mm-hmm. And then we continue to be broke, and we have no idea that we are continually creating the reality. So part of this process is really I help people to really become aware of the patterns, because we're all conditioned and programmed, right? To think about and respond to life in certain ways. And if you want a different outcome, you have to be prepared to change the way you're approaching life, the way you're thinking about things. So mindset is a huge piece. But you can't change what you're not aware you're doing. So the first piece is you always have to become more aware. And that's why we all have blind spots. That's the part. That's mm-hmm. the thing you're doing or thinking or saying that you're not aware of. Does that make sense?
Yes, but let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. How would you say a person's economics, how does that, what does that have to do with their outlook? Meaning that you find that money problems are the number one problems people tend to have.
Yes.
If you have that, you tell me what's the best way to approach life in a positive manner. Mm-hmm. When you have so many things beyond your control that, you know, you just have to pay the mortgage, you have to pay the car note, you have to send the kids to school, you know, you just have to do so many things. You're looking around, you're only making X amount of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I mean, I could always say, okay, I need to be positive.
Yeah.
But then when you're faced with what could seem insurmountable problems, what advice would you give to somebody like that?
Oh, wonderful. A great point, because I heard you say the word have to several times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First of all, when I'm in a place of I have to do this rather than I choose to do this, it's
mm-hmm.
one is power empowering and one is disempowering. So that's the first place to start with, recognizing where you are. The other thing is, where so many people got frustrated by this positive thinking movement is that we think, well, if I just think positive thoughts all day long, my life is going to turn around and it's going to go really well. Here's the problem. If you are running a counter belief, so for example, if you have a belief that rich people are evil or unkind or selfish, right, and you don't want to be any of those things, then there's a part of you that's going to sabotage every attempt you make to get rich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's the programs you're running. So if you slap a positive intention on top of a deeper belief that is counter to that, then it's like putting a scab on top of a festering wound. And you think it's healed, but it's not. You have to open up. You have to take off the scab. You have to get out the pus. I mean, it sounds very gross, but it's really what it is. You have to look at your underlying money beliefs. You want to change your money situation? You have to start to recognize your underlying money beliefs. And many of us are running a belief like, God, things are hard right now and the economy is terrible. But isn't it interesting that even in the worst economic downturns, more in the depression of the 20s, more millionaires were made than at any other time.
You know, that's a very interesting thing, because you always hear entrepreneurs come on these various programs, and they will always tell you that, you know, the best time to start your business is in a downturn, you know. Now, I would just surmise and say that may be so, because maybe they were just laid off their job.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to be said for the security of receiving a paycheck, you know, every 2 weeks. So therefore, they just stay there and do what they have to do. But I get, when the human spirit is forced to make an alternative.
Can I make a point about that really quick, too? Because here's the thing is that, because of how our brain works, right, literally when you are in protection mode, so your life is falling apart, you're behind on your mortgage, you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're in debt up to your ears and you're stressed to the max, the first thing you want to do is to use a tool or a technique to change your emotional state, because your brain cannot find solutions when you are freaked out. So there's a technique I use called EFT, or tapping, or emotional freedom technique, where you literally just use your fingertips to tap on certain points on your head and your face and your upper body that correspond to acupuncture points, and you influence your energy and it calms your whole system down, and you would be surprised that all of a sudden solutions you couldn't see before you can now see. It's like magic.
Helen, hold on a sec. I think we have a caller. Hold on a
sec.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you. You're on air. Who is this?
This is Garth.
Oh, Garth, how are you? Do you have a question for Helen?
Yeah, if I can get personal for a minute, on my side, that is. I can intellectualize when it comes to moral decisions and that sort of thing. And I know when a particular choice might be ethical or moral or proper. And mm-hmm. and I might still choose or deliberately decide to do something contrary because of a particular comfort or gratification that comes from that. And how can a person get beyond that sort of situation, if you can speak to that for a moment?
So what you're asking, let me just make sure we're on the same page here. What you're asking is, how do you, what is it you, let me ask you a question before I answer that.
Sure.
When you make that choice to go against your, what I'm hearing is that you're making a choice to go against your cultural conditioning or your familial conditioning, which would say this is right and that is wrong, this is good and that's bad, right? And then you decide, well this is what I really want to do instead. Is that correct?
It could be described that way. Let's just say bad habits that I'm comfortable with, but I know are destructive,
right.
And are not contributory to or conducive to proper living or being in that right space, which I can tell, but I still choose to behave in those contrary ways. What kinds of techniques could one employ to get beyond those kinds of things?
Perfect. The first thing you would ask yourself is, how is this serving me? Because it's interesting, right? Every time people go, oh, that's not serving me at all. No, it is serving you on some level. So,
yeah, there's some
ask yourself,
that comes out of
it. Exactly. Ask yourself, how is this serving me, right? And then if it's serving you, and if it's serving you, you then get to make another choice. Is this serving me in a positive way? Do I want to continue to do this? And then if you're continuing to do this, do yourself a favor and don't feel guilty about it. That's a waste of energy. Because if you're going to do something, guilt is self-punishment, by the way.
Yeah.
So just give yourself permission. It's your life.
Hold on, Helen. Wait. Say that again. What did you say? Guilt is self-punishment?
Yes, it is. Think about it.
Uh-huh.
When you feel guilty, you've done it and you feel guilty. How is that helping you?
Now, I absolutely understand what you're getting at.
Hold on, Helen. Hold on. But you see, it's easy to say that.
Yeah.
But guilt is also... Isn't guilt an innate part of our being? If we know, therefore what you're going to have to do is maybe uncondition your mind to
That's
certain
right.
things you've been conditioned to think are right or wrong.
Absolutely. Toussaint, one of the most impactful things I heard.
Because, for instance, like a crime, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't have certain innate things in you, as
mm-hmm.
a society, we are preconditioned to say, okay, if you do that, you are doing wrong. Therefore,
right.
the guilt factor is automatically going to kick in.
No, there are lots of people who commit crimes every day who do not feel guilty one bit about it.
That is true, but that's not the majority.
We tell ourselves it should keep us in line, but it really doesn't. Because here's the thing, guilt is usually something you feel after the fact. And most times, you'll go and do it again. So it's not, is guilt really stopping you?
Yeah,
not so much. It's really just a way of you actually justifying. Sometimes we actually use guilt to justify what we've done and help us to keep doing it. This is a very different way of looking at things, by the way. Let me share something with you. It's a quote from a book called Future Shock that so profoundly impacted me. And it says that the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read or write. It will be those who refuse to unlearn and relearn.
Mhm. Mhm.
Because there's so many patterns that we've learned that we're living that are not serving us or the planet, and yet we keep repeating them. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yes, but the first thing you have to do is recognize them. So, Garth, thank you for your question.
Garth, stay online, Garth. Garth, stay online. I'm gonna take another call. I'm just going to take another call here. Hello?
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 Hi, who's this?
Yes, hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, I was listening to the explanation about repeated negative thoughts or repeated guilty thoughts.
Yeah.
But isn't the problem the ethical evaluation of guilt? Because at one level, the society makes certain types of conduct criminally subject to sanction. At another level, I think the expert is saying that there is a motivation or a repeated motivation to have an approach to the problem.
Yeah.
Now, the real question is, do most people in the society rely on or do most people in the society appreciate the value of some of these criminal definitions? You know, to give an example, many people don't think that smoking marijuana should be a criminal act, whereas it is considered in most states to be a criminal, doing something that is criminally chargeable. But most people think that it's okay to do. So you have an inconsistency between the guilty mind in the law and the guilty mind, you know, the actual thought process. Think about that.
Yes.
Well, hold on. But then again, I think we're talking about how we're conditioned. Because a lot of people are conditioned to think that smoking marijuana is not wrong. Therefore, they possess no guilt when they do that act. Right. And, you know, it's how society views certain acts, you know? I mean, wouldn't you say that is so, Helen?
Yes, I agree 100%. It's really, it's about our conditioning. And really, the journey is about taking time to examine for yourself, for the individual. You know, taking time and saying, do I really agree with that? You'd be surprised how often it's take, even in the act of parenting, right? I would find myself so often repeating something my parents said. And luckily, my youngest is 14 now. And he is a real, that generation is, they are here to challenge all the status quo and help us to challenge it too. And he would say, well, why? And I would think about it, and half the time I'd be like, you know what? There is no good solid reason for that, except that that's the way it was. I was taught to do it.
Right.
Or that's what my parents said. So it really is about becoming conscious for ourselves and deciding for yourself, does that work for me, and why am I doing that? And that's how you create a life you love.
Right. Can you guys hold on? Let me just take... I'm just taking another call here. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, who's this? Hi, who's this?
This is Nadine. I'm calling in from Virginia, and I have with me a friend, Tracy, and the both of us are single women, middle-aged women. And our question, first of all, can you hear me?
You know,
yeah,
you might need to mute somebody on the line to song because it's getting really hard to hear. Somebody has a lot of noise in their background.
Right, I just did that. Continue now, Nadine.
Okay, hi. You know, I think basically my question has been answered, but here's another section to it, and it is that it's so hard for me sometimes to spiritual positive path. You know, there you go to church and there's a tradition of church, which I have no problems with. However, you like to explore outside of that. And, you know, I guess it's just a matter of dealing with the having that conflict with tradition and allowing you to encompass spirituality on a whole without feeling that you're doing something wrong, you know? Sometimes, you know, from my observation, I don't want to be too long because I understand that time is precious and you have other callers, but I want to be able to know it's okay that I'm, you know, I'm considering a higher power, you know, whatever you want to call the imperial spiritual. Without feeling that I am, you know, doing something wrong within the traditional religious realm. But that's my question. And then my friend Tracy here, she has a question also.
Okay, so let me address Nadine's question first.
Okay.
So let me just mirror back to you, Nadine. So what you're really wondering is how do you manage the conflict within yourself of giving yourself permission to explore and not feel guilty? Or what it really speaks to is an issue of sometimes we have a feeling of we're betraying almost our upbringing, our conditioning. It could be family, it could be society. It's a very interesting area that we can go a mile wide and a mile deep on, but. In a very short answer, there are tools and techniques and there are processes that will help you to address those specific limitations and conflicts within you. You have to find the root beliefs that are creating the conflict, and then we have tools and techniques to collapse them, change them, and install. Literally, they're like programs in your mind. If you think of like a computer, we're running these programs like a computer program, and then it runs in our subconscious mind, and it influences our behavior every day. It's really fascinating. But, so that's what leads to a lot of sometimes that subconscious, that guilt coming up. It's like, oh, my gosh, those thoughts of, oh, don't go too far there because, you know, it's going against your conditioning, which just think of your conditioning as a program that you're running in your computer.
Great.
Does that help? Yeah.
Yes. It did, definitely.
Good.
And I guess that's definitely a coping mechanism I can, you know, help to proceed without guilt.
Right, yes. And so, like, the EFT tapping is an awesome tool. You can, if you Google emotional freedom technique, there are tons of free videos on YouTube. There is the EFT Universe website where you can actually download a free mini manual. And, of course, if you want more personal help, go to helenmacmillan.com, MacMillan. I do a free 30-minute strategy session. I'd be happy to talk with you.
Oh, this is great. Thank you so much. Hold on.
You're
for
welcome.
Thanks a lot. You have a
You're
great
welcome.
Show. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I hope to hear you on it again soon.
Okay. Is there another question, Nadine?
Yes. I'm her
Tracy.
Friend. My name is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
My question is, as a middle-aged woman dating and in relationships remaining positive, should I just give up finding love?
Ah. So my question for you is, would it make your life even more meaningful and juicy and fabulous to have and I'm assuming that love you're talking about is having a intimate, significant other.
Correct.
Right. So would it make your life more meaningful, joyful, and juicy to have a healthy love relationship?
Yes, that would complete me.
Excellent. So never give up on your dream. Find a way to make it happen. Get the support you need. Do the work to get you out of your own way and make it your dream. Go get it. It's there for you. You just need to get out your own way.
Would you say that maybe she's looking for love in all the wrong places? I mean,
That would be an assumption if I said that. I wouldn't. Each person has different reasons why they may not have allowed that in their life yet. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's patterns we're repeating. Maybe we've been hurt, or maybe you're just getting better and better each time at figuring out what you want.
I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tracy, do you feel that? You feel that, with each experience, it's a learning experience? Hi, Tracy?
I'm sorry, say that again.
No, do you think that with each experience, you learn, you benefit from whatever experience you've just been through?
Yes, I grow every way and learn more about myself in doing so.
Exactly, yeah. And is it now time for you to be done learning and have it?
Yes.
And it'll feel like a yes or no when you answer. It'll be like, yeah or no. Just trust that. Yeah. Yeah. Great. So, and what are you prepared to do about it?
Okay.
So that's the other thing. It's like, are you more committed to your reality or are you more committed to your dream? And the evidence of that will be in how much action you're taking in the direction of your dream. So,
okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was great. Thank you all for all your advice. And great show, Mr. Lewis. Great show.
Thank you. Okay,
bye-bye from Virginia.
Bye.
Bye. So, Helen, let me give you the opportunity to, I know you've written a book. How long did the book take you to write?
I actually am in the middle of writing my own book, The Gift of Pain. I'm a contributing author in a book that was published last year called Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. It's the 2013 edition, and it's a daily reading book with different stories by different authors. And I was very thrilled to be included. I think mine is on May. Oh, it's interesting because we're in May now. My entry is on May 3rd, and it's called A Life Worth Saving. It's really the story. I tell the story of when I tried to commit suicide when I was 19. And so a lot of people see me now, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you're so positive, and you have such a positive outlook on life, and how is that? And that's because I have been on the other end. I spent a lot of my teenage years and early 20s into late 20s in depression. And so I have, I understand what that pain really is a gift, and in it is a gift. And I've become an expert somewhat on finding the gifts in each of life's challenges. And so, that's the book I'm in, and I'm very, very grateful and thankful and joyful to be included with other authors in that one. And people can stay tuned for my book, which is hopefully will be coming out later this year. We'll see how life is.
What I'd like to do, because I need to wrap this up now, I'd like to invite you back. The next time around, I want to include possibly a yoga segment, a wellness segment, just for my listeners who are used to having me talk about, politics and things like gun control and immigration. We will do those topics in the near future. But I think it's important for us to just get a sense of who we are, where we would like to be, get rid of negative thoughts. And this is why I was very excited to have Helen on today. And I really do appreciate you coming on, Helen. I'm going to have to go now. I'm also thinking of making this show longer. I apologize to all the callers. I see you on the switchboard who are waiting for your opportunity to ask a question. I will get to you next time. Stay tuned, and I'm going to let all of you know where and when to tune in. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Helen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Toussaint. Thanks for having me. It's been a joy. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Gus. Well, first of all, I just heard from, I have to talk quick because I have to do something. Helen was very into the question. Hello? 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 David, listen. Your question, as usual, was very good because it brought in the whole thing of individuals versus society. I think we had brought it up before, but then you kind of expounded on it. I had to put you on mute because it was like I could hear this platform. That your, I think this is not your cell phone, right? It absolutely became to the point where Helen even said that there's somebody, if I can put somebody on mute, because we couldn't hear. So you did your part, you did your part, nothing wrong with that. Want me back on the show, but that show went very right, because I'm getting some calls and thing now, and I have to rush out, so I just want to respond to what everybody's saying. So, right, and we'll be in touch because you are coming on soon, okay? Okay, bye-bye.